right, this is tape one, side B. Let's talk a little bit maybe about your junior high and high school. I say junior high. Is there such a thing in Poland?
No, there wasn't. Okay. There was 8 years of the basic school, and then there was 4 years of high school. So there was 12 years altogether, and so I was 18 when I went to university.
Right, right. And what is the general focus when you get into high school? Is it, again, more specialized, or...?
It has become specialized. Then you have these... At the time, we had profiles, mathematics, physics, and biology, and humanistic type of profile. Mm-hmm. So I was in a biological chemistry type of class, which has all the parts of the basic education with extended hours for biology and chemistry.
Right. Now, you mentioned already that, you know, you were helping your brother with his science competition projects, mm-hmm. and that really turned you mm-hmm. on to sort of the wonder of science, in part at least. When does that happen, more or less?
So when I went to high school, so I was 15 years old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I remember reading, too, in some of the literature that I received from the Pew, you read a book about the physiology of organisms. Is that more or less about the same time?
That was at the time. So my brother participated in that competition, and I participated in his experiments, and we were reading, and he was just telling me about it. And that was actually when I entered high school. He was in the last class of high school, and then he left for medical school. So then I had much more time on my hands, and then which was pretty unusual already when I was a student. I was just finishing my first grade at this high school. I decided, actually this teacher encouraged me, biology teacher, to enter this competition, in which usually people only in the third or fourth grade participate. Mm-hmm. So in a way, to participate in this competition, I had to, within 1 year, I had to cover the entire program of biology from this extended biological chemistry profile. And I was, of course, reading our textbook, but then there was, I don't have this book here, but there was a translation of Vallée, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a pretty well-known book here. Mm-hmm. And it was a general biology book, one of the books that you would use here in biological sciences introductory program at university. And it covered everything from a cell through evolution, through a physiology of the organism. And it was very well written, and somehow, for the first time, I was reading something, not just a textbook, but not my textbook at least, but a book which really turned me on to biology. So then practically every chapter of the book was a new fascination for me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, is your interest in literature still going on at the same time in high school? Are you still pursuing that?
Yes, I was still reading at the time quite mm-hmm. a lot, and that actually continued, and still continues, but a little bit more limited right now. But I was continually reading at the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have any plans at some point of pursuing that career option, or was that pretty much foreclosed by the time?
At the time when... I think when biology sparked, I think from that point on, the literature just always remained a hobby for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any extracurricular activities when you were in high school, things that you did outside of schoolwork?
We had various scientific groups at the time, and besides that, not really. I had... Besides the friends I told you about from my little city, I had also a big circle of friends outside of Sandomierz, which were friends I picked during vacations. We were going with my brother to a special camp, which was for children with various diseases like diabetes and other types of gastrointestinal diseases. It was a fantastic camp organized by, on one hand, medical school from a different city and some clinicians who were tending these children. I was coming as an accompanying person with my brother, And I met a very nice group of people there. And actually, I was writing to these people throughout the year. We were during some vacations, we would meet with one another. So I would travel to different cities to meet with those people as well. So that was also part of my growing up in childhood, just having a pretty actually large network of friends and keeping in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you've already mentioned one influential teacher, biology teacher. Were there others in high school?
I think that was the only teacher that I would mention as having influenced me at the time.
And you were saying that you sort of sped through the biology part of the profile in order to do this project, in order to do this competition. What was that project?
So the first one that I have done was the influence of different pesticides on algae. So that involved a trip to catch some algae from nearby ponds, and then treating these algae with different doses of pesticides and just reporting what happened to these different algae in terms of, I mean, how quickly did they die? That was probably, in a nutshell, my experiment at the time.
Right. Did you do other projects, other presentations throughout high school?
So that was the first time when I was taking part in that competition, and then next year I participated as well. And at that time, my project was the influence of environment on the population of a little plant. The Latin name is Ranunculus acer. It's just a little yellow yellow flower. And that was actually fun because during all my travels that I've done during that year, including just near my little city, but also when I went to the sea or in the mountains, I would find the same species of that flower. And on one hand, I would count the density of the population, which is counting the flowers. One funny story from that time was that I was on a field nearby Sandomierz, and a farmer with weapons emerged to chase me off to protect his field. But otherwise, it was pretty safe. So that was counting the flowers on certain surface of area, and then I was picking up the soil. And I had it analyzed in a biological station in my little city in terms of acidity, in terms of different type of factors that could influence the plants.
Right.
So that was the second experiment, which was a little bit more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. And how did you fare with these projects?
Doing the experiment and then writing a report of that was the first sort of entry point, and then there was just your usual competition of tests and knowledge, and I actually that was pretty amazing for me at the time, because as I was entering my first competition, I was in the first grade, and when the competition ended, I was in the second grade, and I had like a seventh place in Poland, which was extremely good at the time. Mm-hmm. So from a perspective of a little town and a young teenager, that was a very big thing for me, in terms of that maybe I have found something that I'm good at, simply.
How would you describe, let me rephrase it. What was your understanding of what scientists did?
Limited at the time. So definitely I did not know any scientists. So as I've been reading about biology, I started to read some literature about scientists, famous scientists. So that was my first glimpse. And then, of course, once I entered the Warsaw University a couple of years later, then of course I met real scientists.
Was that your first experience in a lab when you went to Warsaw University?
That's right, yeah, okay. Because otherwise it was just lab in high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what kind of student were you? How would you describe yourself?
I was a very good student, and in terms of how I did in different courses, probably a little bit of perfectionism of my mom got into all of that. But I was simply genuinely interested in all of that stuff. Except it was called political economics, which we were treated with as students in the socialistic times. I mean, right. I don't know if you ever encountered that subject, but that was, you know, the a little bit of Marxism and some of the it was a very political economy subject, which I never understood.
Right. So a little bit of Marx. Some economic thought, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah,
and then
yeah.
some
mm-hmm.
ideology, political
yes,
ideology
exactly,
taught
yeah.
to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked... Oh, how would you assess your education, all of it, at this time?
I often think about it, actually, because now I am here, and I talk a lot with people who have children or just observing our students here, how our education compares to the education that is given here. There is a big contrast, and maybe not just Poland, but generally in Europe, there is a tendency for the education which is more uniform across the entire country in terms of the requirements, and then education here also it very quickly became, not very quickly, but it became specialized or at least expanded in certain area pretty early compared to what is happening here. And all in all, I think that I was, when I look back, I'm pretty happy with the type of education that I got until I came here, until my master's degree. At Warsaw University, that was definitely more sort of book-type learning rather than applied learning that you have in graduate schools here. So that was a nice transition that I liked to come here to graduate school and have a little bit more how you do science rather than, you know, what science can
be.
Give. Yeah,
right,
mm-hmm.
right.
In terms of information. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea, I mean, I like the idea that there is some uniformity in terms of education, in terms of that, I mean, if somebody here applies and they are from some city in Poland, I more or less know what they should know.
Right. I had a question about religion. We haven't talked about religion before mm-hmm. we move on and get you into the university. What impact did religion have on you and your family, if any?
Poland is a very religious and Catholic country. So I was raised in... and even at the time when that was a communistic or socialistic country, so there was this disconnect that definitely the school was extremely... like there was no influence of religion whatsoever, no mention of religion. But then everybody went to church, and also we were going for religious education throughout actually my high school to church basically, and priests and nuns were running this sort of religious education in parallel to your normal education. So I went through all of that, and so religion is very much part of my upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it still important now?
I am not a religious person anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. As you're about to leave high school and enter the university, what plans did you have? I mean, how did you see your future at that point?
I did not have other plans except that I just want to study biology,
right.
and so that evolved over time. What I knew is that I really liked biology and I wanted to learn more of it, and going to university was the answer to that. And probably for the first few years, I was just happy doing this, and then at the end of my my studies, I knew that I really like doing research, and then I wanted to just do more of it and go to the next step, and that was the motivation to come here.
Right. And how did you choose Warsaw University? Why Warsaw rather than another?
Rather than Kraków, where my brother was. It was considered the best university in biological sciences, so I decided to go there.
Okay. Were you tempted to go to Krakow?
I was because of my brother being there, and actually Jagiellonian University is the oldest in Poland and also has nice system, but still somehow I think also I simply liked Warsaw as the capital, that was also attractive to me, that a lot of important aspects of life of the country was happening there, so I was curious about that as well.
Had you been to Warsaw before?
Oh yeah, I've been many times. My father's family lived in Warsaw, so I visited frequently, and that was also probably part of my decision, because I knew the city a little bit, I liked the city, and so I felt comfortable with the notion of spending next 5 years of my life there.
Mm-hmm. How would you compare Warsaw to Nashville?
Warsaw is just a little bit bigger city, and it feels like a bigger city than Nashville. It's more urban than Nashville.
So more built up.
More built up and
of course much older.
It's European.
Right.
Well, actually, many people do not consider Warsaw beautiful. Some Kraków is beautiful for everybody. Warsaw, some people think Warsaw has different parts. So, of course, for Poles, what is extremely important is that the entire old city was completely destroyed during the Second World War. Was actually destroyed in 95%, did not exist, and was completely rebuilt by Poles. So for us it has a very special meaning, this old city. And then of course there are some beautiful parts and some beautiful parks that we like very much. And then there is the more socialistic part of Warsaw, which some people consider ugly. But for me, the whole thing is beautiful, so I very much enjoyed my time there.
Mm-hmm. Now, excuse me, do you feel, as you're growing up, do you feel that your parents had expectations for you about, you know, what you should do with your life?
So I told you about the tolerance. They had high expectations in a sense that they wanted us to get education. They wanted us to do very well in life. There was, I would say, not from my parents that much, but from my grandmother who lived with us, some pressure for me to become a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. But that was a very tiny pressure, and otherwise they really allowed me to do what I wanted to do. So as I told you, it was really my brother, maybe a little bit influenced by my father, my parents, who convinced me to pursue biological profile in high school rather than humanistic profile that I was almost determined to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if I chose to go that route,
they would
no problem.
Right.
They would, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, describe that first year at Warsaw University. Describe also the transition. How easy was the transition from going from this rather smallish town?
It was for me. I was a little bit anticipating the transition because Sandomierz was very, very tiny city. So I was a little bit shy. Having won this contest in biology was somewhat helpful because I met some of the colleagues whom I met eventually at Warsaw University. I met them during these competitions. So on one hand, I knew I probably will not get lost there, but on the other hand, there was some anticipation how will I fit in all that big city environment. But I very quickly met some very good friends. Actually, my best friend during my Warsaw years is not a biologist. She was studying Portuguese, of all things, And I met her because of a very funny system that existed at the time, which does not exist anymore. But the socialistic government at the time had this notion that before intellectuals become intellectuals, they should know what the real physical work is like.
Right.
So before we would start the university, we had something which we called practical training, which was a month of some physical labor. So we would come to Warsaw before we even started to study, and my friend, who was to study Portuguese, was working in a perfume factory, and I was working in a zoo for a month.
Hmm.
And that was at the time when Solidarity Movement was starting, so it was all very interesting. And we were living in the dorms, and this is where I met Helenka, who became my best friend for the university and even now.
Mm-hmm. And I take it that the friendship was probably more memorable than the job you had for a month.
The zoo was interesting.
Yeah.
but yeah, it was not very memorable.
Right. And well, now that you mentioned the friendship,
mm-hmm.
describe the friendship a little bit, I guess. I mean, what were you, what was it like? What was the friendship like? What were you receiving?
It's like with every friendship. It, on one hand, I think you cannot just express in words why do you like somebody. And you know, we met one day, and in the evening we already knew we just really liked one another, and we are mm-hmm. going to be friends. But what I was almost in love with Helenka, if you can say that in a, mm-hmm. in a all positive aspects of that word, in a sense that she was just delightful, very beautiful, and very smart, and she was doing something different than I was doing, and that's something that is in my nature. It's actually, I like people who are different than me, and she was studying Portuguese, which was very interesting. But then we shared also a lot of interests like literature and theater, and that was some of the things that we would be doing together. So when we started to study, we were living in different places, we were studying different things, but we would be meeting every week or every other week and just going to the movies together, going to the theater together, or mm-hmm. just meeting in cafes. That's what European students do, of course.
Right.
Spend a lot of time in cafes and just talk about politics and life and men and everything.
Right,
yeah.
What you normally
mm-hmm.
talk about.
Yeah,
of course,
mm-hmm.
now, too, you have a backdrop of Solidarity movement beginning. What was that like? In other words, what was the feel of Warsaw at that time, I guess?
So I already alluded to that. That was an enormous feeling of optimism at the time, and a lot of good things happened at university. Many of very wise and valuable people got to the top of the departments and the top of administration in the university during this year. What was interesting then, that even after martial law was imposed and some of these people were imprisoned for a time, many of these people were retained in their positions. So we've been very lucky to have these people as our deans and department chairs at the time when I was studying, even without Solidarity Movement in power.
Right.
But that was a very, very interesting time to study in terms of what was happening.
Right. Did you become involved in these political
movements? I was involved with some demonstrations, and also just before the martial law was imposed, the whole university went on strike, and I was part of that strike. So we basically moved to the university. It was occupational strike, so we were living for actually over a month, I think, in zoology building. So people were bringing us food, and so we basically stayed there for over a month, and then on December 13th, on December 12th, actually, we ended the strike, and the next day, when I woke up, the martial law was imposed. So that was moment that I will never forget, because going outside of my apartment and just I went to downtown Warsaw, and they were soldiers and they were tanks in the middle of the Warsaw. So that was pretty memorable experience, and it was amazingly quiet day. I mean, if you turned on the phones did not work. When we turned on TV, you had General Jaruzelski speaking to the nation. If you turned on radio, there was again General Jaruzelski speaking why he did what he did. And so there was this difficult moment for everybody, because the phones did not work, so I could not communicate with my parents, at least for a day or two. And then there was, I almost immediately actually just took a train and went to my parents. But but it was a very memorable day in the country. And the next few months, actually over a year, I think.
Right. Now, were you aware, and your fellow activists, were you aware, too, of the reaction it had in other places around the world, like in the U.S.?
So that was talked a lot, and you know, what will be the reaction of U.S.? Will U.S. actually do something? Will U.S. react to the martial law by actually somehow intervening in a more powerful way than just sanctions? Mm-hmm. So I think we had pretty good impression what was happening in terms of what is the reaction and what's going to happen, and definitely how the West would react to what's happening in Poland. That was an important thing for us, because we knew that what the outcome is going to be is going to very much depend on the international politics of this.
Right. I'm not an expert, I'm not even close on Polish history, but what was the relationship, let's say, between academia and Solidarity, the movement itself, the workers, the miners?
Very big connection between Solidarity, the first Solidarity movement. Of course, Wałęsa became very quickly the chief of that movement, but some of the people who later became prime ministers, and they were very part of the round table which eventually negotiated after 1989, when there was the system went down, and there was so-called round table discussions between the opposition and the old government. Many of the professors of Warsaw University were actually part of these discussions. Geremek, who is still part of government, and many of them were very much involved at these stages. Later, and they formed one of the parties, which later was very important part of the politics. But later there was a rift. But that happened only in the 90s. There was a big rift between Wałęsa and workers and these intellectuals.
Right.
Yeah, but many of them were imprisoned for many years, and they were definitely part of this initial movement and initial establishment of the democratic government.
So even then, at the very beginning, would you say initially then, there was this close relationship between the workers, the people of the union, members of the union, and academia as well?
Yes, there was a big connection there. I would say that intellectuals played a very, very big role of in these transitions.
Right. Okay. Getting back to sort of your academic work, at least at the university, do you believe you were prepared for college level work? Was it difficult? Were you tackling the subjects fairly easily? What was that like?
Yeah, but that education was never an issue, and so even in this small city, I felt that education was pretty good. I had some worries about my chemistry when I was going to Warsaw University, because I felt I was not prepared in chemistry very well. I never done experiment on my own. We could only observe our teacher doing something, you know, in the front of the class. So that definitely was not very good preparation. But you know, even with that, there was never a problem. The next step was never a problem.
Right. And what was the curriculum there, the first couple of years at college?
At college, we had pretty broad curriculum. On one hand, the humanistic curriculum with a lot of Polish language and literature, and not only just Polish literature, but Welsh literature, and then history, of course, mathematics, physics, chemistry, the languages. The languages were very specific at the time. We started to learn Russian when we were in fifth grade. And we continued to learn Russian throughout the high school and throughout the university. At some point, I was fluent in Russian. Mm-hmm. And I love that language. It's actually a very beautiful language. And then when I entered high school, the language that was offered in that high school was German. So I also know some German, and I was learning this. And English, actually, I started very late. And that was already the time when I became very interested in biology, and I realized that I need English to continue to study biology in the future. And then I just started to take private lessons and then just read as soon as I could read anything.
Mm-hmm. It sounds then that the languages came pretty easily for you then.
Yes, even though I wouldn't say I am, my brother, I think, has much better talent for language. I am not fluent in English. I will probably never be. So it's not that I have just a natural talent. They come easy, but I'm not very talented in that direction.
Right. I should have asked this earlier, but I'll ask it now. When you're when solidarity is occurring and this political mm-hmm. turmoil is happening, what was your parents' reaction to your participation in these various?
They didn't actually. I mean, they knew that I was part of the strike. I don't recall them either approving or disapproving. Mm-hmm. Again, this tolerance was in evidence there at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. In the university, describe your first lab work that you started to do. How did you introduce yourself to that?
Mm-hmm. So the system works this way that for the first 3 years of university, we have very much like here, you would have laboratories which would be just class laboratories. So we would do experiments in biochemistry, in analytical chemistry, which I was afraid, as I told you, because I thought I was not prepared for that. And I was over-eager. I remember very well my mm-hmm. first experiment in analytical chemistry. We were given a test tube, and we were asked to identify what type of ions are in that. And I did everything what we were asked to, and then one of the ways of determining what type of ion is to smell. That happened that I discovered ammonia in my test tube, and I discovered it extremely well. It and there was absolutely no question that was ammonia in the test tube, right? And we had a few explosions in the chemistry lab, of course, and things like that. But that was very much just following the book and learning the techniques. So when we were in the fourth and fifth year, you can compare it a little bit to the honors program here, but then it is really much more extensive, right, and ends with writing a master thesis. This is when I entered a lab and I started to spend most of my time, because the classes are coursework is almost over at the time, and then you concentrate on experimental work.
Right. And how did you focus on a particular lab then in your fourth year?
That was at the time when my biological interests were evolving, as I've been learning about new disciplines of biology. As I mentioned earlier, initially when I became fascinated in biology, everything interested me, mm-hmm. Every discipline. At the end of the high school, I think I was more and more interested in genetics, and that definitely became part of my biological fascination. And I was very interested in regulation of gene expression, and I chose the lab that I felt was the best lab to do that type of work, and that was the lab that was working on chromatin structure and regulation of gene expression in this way. So I chose the lab based on this, and also just the quality of people in that lab as well.
Right. And I'm assuming, too, all throughout, college is being, it's state-funded.
That's right.
Right,
that
so there's no worries about...
There was no worries, actually. I was getting a small fellowship for certain, you know, standards of certain grades. There was a small fellowship eventually. So that was all for free. Of course, you had to buy books. You had to find a place to live, and that's where, of course, and you had to eat, and all of that were parents,
right.
Because we were not allowed to work.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was one of the things that probably is my parents' influence, and that they would not allow, I mean, the students could not really work officially at the time when they were studying, but even during summer, my parents were not at all fond of idea of me working for money. It happened very rarely. Very few people have done that, and they not encouraged it at all. And I simply view it as probably just trying to protect us from what they were going through. Because as I told you, they started to work when they were very young, and I think they didn't feel that somehow enriched their life
right.
in a significant way. So they felt we still have time to. So that's why, you know, I consider my childhood as a very very relaxing time,
right.
Where I could just do what I like doing.
Yeah, it sounds as if they give you a lot of space in order to explore anything you want.
They did.
To.
Yeah. Yes. And I could. And my summers where I could spend them whenever, however I wanted, and I would always spend some time with my family. But during my studies in Warsaw, my friend Helenka, whom I mentioned to you already, she went to Portugal for a whole year, and later she invited me for the summer. So that was my really fantastic vacation to go to Portugal. It was my first trip to the Western world at the
right.
time. And we had really great time in Portugal. I before I went, I learned Portuguese just a little bit to be able to delight the natives.
Right.
When they had this bunch of Polish young women, some of them fluent in Portuguese and some of them at least trying.
They always admire that anyway when you try.
They do. And Portugal is particularly so because, like Poland, it's even smaller country than Poland and smaller nation. So they really take delight if people make an effort and they try to learn about their country and they want to learn their language.
Mm-hmm. And did you take any side trips? Did you get to go into Spain at all? Or
No. We initially, I think we were planning, and I even had a Spanish visa, which of course I needed, but we started in Lisbon, and then we spent a couple of weeks, we rented a little cottage on the ocean, which was very nice, and then we hitchhiked to the northern part of, was it Boca? The name escapes me. There is another city to which we basically hitchhiked, which now I'm thinking that maybe not, was not a good idea, but it worked fantastic. I mean, as I told you, they were so delighted with us speaking Portuguese that the drivers would go literally out of their way to deliver us to wherever we wanted to go. So we had a tent, and we would spend a few days in one city and then move to another city.
All right. You're doing this academic work. You're also partly involved in these political activities. Were you doing any other extracurricular activities, things like clubs? Was sports important, fraternities, anything
started
like
to,
that?
We don't really have fraternities in Poland, so that was or sororities for that matter.
Is that mostly an American thing?
It is. Okay. I'm still trying to understand
me too.
The logic behind it. I started to play tennis with Andrzej, my current husband, so that was one interesting thing we have done. With Helenka, my friend, and some other friends, we've been also very interested in theater, and there was a number of very good Polish theaters at in Warsaw, so that's what we've been doing often during the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And then at university, I told you that I really liked my teachers, my professors, and not only professors, but actually people who are doing their PhDs and who already finished their PhDs, who were very much involved with us in actually organizing various activities.
Right.
So we formed, we call it just the Molecular Biology Scientific Club, which was just a group of people who were interested in learning more about molecular biology, and we organized regular meetings, and then once per year, we organized, you would call it a retreat here, just a retreat which was beautifully located in an old forest on the northern eastern part of Poland. There is a place called Białowieża, mm-hmm. and this is a national reserve, national park, where you have still European bison living, and it's a beautiful forest. And Warsaw University has a little outpost there, which is also a conference center. So there was a room for giving talks, and so that was actually a very nice group of people that we had, students and these TAs, not, you wouldn't call it then, just PhDs who were running our education at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go once per year to this place or another place, and we would have a small conference that we organized totally on our own. And they were different topics, and in a way, these different topics from year to year, that also nicely reflects the evolution of my interest in biology to the point where I am now. Because one of the topics of these conferences, which probably I suggested, was developmental genetics, developmental biology. I read some papers from Janine Slein-Volhart and Eric Vishaus, who in 1980 published this set of paper in Nature on genetic analysis of fruit fly development.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me just check now. We still have plenty of time. I was at the time already interested in genetics, but then I saw these papers in which you can use genetics to ask how an embryo develops. And they isolated a number of mutations, and just from these defective embryos, just from these defective phenotypes, they could suggest a model, what type of groups of genes would participate in development.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was the last switch that had to be switched for me in terms of what I want to do in my life. And,
right.
And in a way, preparing for that seminar, and we even wrote, we even published little booklets from these seminars. So that was very much involved thing. We organized the whole thing, we prepared the talks, we went, and then we wrote little papers, and we even published them. And apparently later, after I left Poland, some of these books have been used by later students in their studies. So that was very nice adventure. Białowieża was a beautiful place to go. One of these retreats actually happened also in northern part of the Poland, where we have beautiful lakes, and we actually traveled for about 3 weeks on boats. And at the same time, we were talking about oncogenes.
If you got to talk about oncogenes, yeah, how am I supposed to do that?
At the time, there was only one. So one known. So yeah, that was a big part of these scientific circles. That was one thing. And then my my friends like Helenka and more, say, humanistic entertainment was another. And then I still had these friends with whom I kept in touch that I met during the camp where I was going with my brother. And so I continued to keep in touch with these people as well throughout these years.
Mm-hmm. So these were very important then for your scientific development later on. Then,
yes. So that's definitely where what I decided what I want to do, and that was from that moment. I think I also decided that and that was already when this retreat happened, and I really became interested in developmental genetics. This is also already after the martial law was imposed, and I told you before we started taping that that was a very sad time in Poland, where we felt. And after this huge optimism of the early 80s, where the Solidarity was in power, when we were so hopeful that things will change, after martial law, there was this huge letdown, and especially after like year or 2 years passed and nothing was changing, we felt that nothing maybe will change for the next 20 years, and that the possibility of doing science in Poland will be extremely limited, because you know, we had very good education, but my possibility of doing experiments in Poland were extremely limited. We were practically building our own apparatus to run gel electrophoresis. There was very little money, there was very little equipment, and on one hand you are reading these papers with these really fantastic techniques which you can use to ask these questions, and I felt that if I stay in Poland, I will be always limited by the reality, by what I can do experimentally, I felt that I would like to find myself in a situation when I wouldn't be limited this way, that I will have my own limitations as the only limitations on what I want to do.
All right, we're near the end of this tape.